from Book of Acts, chapter 9. Chapter 9, we've been looking at the Book of Acts since our Ascension worship service of this year. Today is chapter 9. We will be looking at chapter 9 together, verses 1 to 19, but we will go up to 20, and then I will stop in 20. Before reading this wonderful passage, let's pray one more time together. Heavenly Father, thank you. Thank you for your grace. Thank you for your mercy. Thank you for your love that you are revealing yourself through the scriptures. Lord, as we are ready to open, as we are getting into this spiritual journey today to find out your wills and plans for your people and for your church, would you please help us to give our hearts to you and help us to focus on Jesus Christ. Lord, also bless me and give me all the words to my lips so that as I'm unfolding the story of Jesus Christ, and help me and help all our brothers and sisters here today to experience your presence, to experience your love and grace. Lord, we love you, we thank you, we pray your Son in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Luke, Acts chapter 9, verse 1 through 20. This is the word of God. It's long verses. But Saul, still breathing threats and murder against the disciples of the Lord, went to the high priest and asked him for letters to the synagogues at Damascus, so that if he found any belonging to the way, men or women, he might bring them bound to Jerusalem. Now as he went on his way, he approached Damascus, as suddenly a light from heaven shone around him, and falling to the ground, he heard a voice saying to him, "Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me?" And he said, "Who are you, Lord?" And he said, "I am Jesus, whom you are persecuting. But rise and enter the city, and you will be told what you are to do." The men who were traveling with him stood speechless, hearing the voice but seeing no one. Saul rose from the ground, and although his eyes were opened, he saw nothing. So they led him by the hand and brought him to Damascus. And for 3 days he was without sight and neither ate nor drank. Now there was a disciple at Damascus named Ananias. The Lord said to him in a vision, "Ananias," and he said, "Here I am, Lord." And the Lord said to him, "Rise and go to the street called the Straight, and at the house of Judas look for men of Tarsus named Saul, for behold, he is praying. And he was seen in a vision, a man named Ananias come in and lay his hands on him so that he might regain his sight. But Ananias answered, "Lord, I have heard from many about this man, how much evil he has done to your saints at Jerusalem. And here he has authority from the chief priests to bind all who call on your name." But the Lord said to him, "Go, for he is a chosen instrument of mine to carry my name before the Gentiles and kings and the children of Israel. For I will show him how much he must suffer for the sake of my name." So Ananias departed and entered the house, and laying his hands on him, said, "Brother Saul, the Lord Jesus, who appeared to you on the road by which you came, has sent me so that you may regain your sight and will be filled with the Holy Spirit." And immediately something like a scales fell from his eyes, and he regained his sight. Then he rose and was baptized, and take food, he was strengthened. Saul proclaims Jesus in synagogues. For some days he was with his disciples at Damascus, and immediately he proclaimed Jesus in the synagogues, saying, "He is the Son of God." And this is the word of God. In the middle of my reading, I also read a title of chapter 9 and verse 20. It's a new chapter begins, but Greek text, it ends differently. Now, Luke wrote this book. We know that. Now, Luke brings our attention today to a person named Saul again. Now, Saul's story is found in Acts chapter 8 and verse 1. We heard about him. It says, "And Saul approved of his execution. So what happened to him is Saul approved the death of Stephen. We talked about that story in Acts chapter 7. Stephen, actually he was a leader of the Hellenist Jewish Christians. He was stoned to death. So the Jews accused him, said in chapter 6 and verse 11, what happened to him is, we have heard him speaking blasphemous words against Moses and God. So they killed Stephen. Blasphemous words against Moses and God. And there is no way out from this curse, and then to be forgiven, that sin is forgiven. So people kill him. Regardless of Stephen's excellent sermon in chapter 7 now, he preached the gospel of Jesus Christ to people, to leaders of Israelite. The angry mob, the angry people, angry Jews mercilessly killed Stephen. The thing is, Saul was there. The Bible says to approve the death of Stephen. Sometimes we wonder, how come he had that power at the time? Now, it was believed that Saul was already recognized as one of Jewish leaders at the time. We don't know his age exactly, but we know that he got some power. He got recognized from other Jewish leaders. And he testifies about that in other letters, about his qualifications, like Philippians chapter 3. He says, as the law, a Pharisee, and as to righteousness under the law, blameless. That's how he claimed about himself. And even Acts chapter 22, it's just kind of long, but it's interesting. He said, I'm a Jew, born in Tarsus in Cilicia, and then brought up in this city, educated at the feet of Gamaliel. This is very important. At the time, Gamaliel, the rabbi, is a big figure. He was a student of Gamaliel, according to the strict manner of the law of our fathers. And he's also being jealous for God, as all of you are this day. And he says, as the high priest and the whole council of elders can bear me witness. So we can imagine that he was a very popular kind of, he's a big figure, a rising star. So with the support of religious leaders at the time, so Saul, he approved the death of Stephen. That was the very first persecution that we see in the Bible. Very first persecution of the church. Now, since Stephen was one of the leaders of the Hellenistic Jewish Christians, eventually the target of the first persecution was not everybody. It's mostly for the Hellenistic Jewish Christians. That's why we see that the disciples at the time, when persecution happened, the disciples were able to stay in Jerusalem. That's in the book of Acts. So, but another Hellenistic Jewish leaders and people like Philip, they had to run away. They had to go somewhere. So Philip went to Samaria. We talked about it. And the many other Hellenistic Jewish Christians spread out to many other nations. Now, looking at all the people are gone, no one is in Jerusalem, Saul's heart was still burning for his religion, burning for his faith in his religion. And he could not let his passion, conviction, and faith just go away. He couldn't do that. Simply, we can say he was not happy all the time with these people. Even not happy with just persecuting people in Jerusalem. So our text says, chapter 9 and verse 1, but Saul still breathing threats and murder against the disciples of the Lord. He was burning his desire to persecute other people, other Christians. And in Acts 26 and 9, he describes other places. Acts 26 and 9, he says, I myself was convicted that I ought to do many things in opposing the name of Jesus Christ. So that's in his heart, opposing Jesus Christ. And he said, when they were put to death, I cast my vote against them. Yes. And he said, in raging fury against them, I persecuted them, even to the foreign cities. That's his desire. And try to find all the Christians and bring back to Jerusalem. Among these all foreign cities, the Hellenist Jewish Christians went to, a lot of them went to Damascus. It's about 135 miles from Jerusalem. It's about a 1 week journey from Jerusalem. So it was like a commercial center between Egypt and other cities. So it's very popular. At the time, a lot of Jews already lived in that city. And so they had many synagogues at the time. So eventually, Jewish members, they went to Damascus. Now Saul knew that. He could not let his anger go against the followers of Jesus Christ. Think about this way. Many Jewish leaders must have felt the same. They could not put up with a new movement. But yet, they didn't do anything. Not that many things except persecuting disciples and arresting them a couple of times. They didn't do much to find out the rest of Christians. But look at this. Saul was different. His heart was burning, literally burning for God, burning for the love of Moses every day. So he was convinced that this new movement has to be stopped right away. So he went to the high priest, Caiaphas, we believe that, and to get letters to the synagogues, to letter from the high priest to arrest all the Christians in Damascus, and then to bring them back to Jerusalem for trials or persecutions, whatever. So Luke says in verse 2, is very interesting. If he found any belonging to the way, men and women, he might bring them bound to Jerusalem. Now we see interesting word, the way here. The way is the name for the early church at the time. Then Luke describes the first century church as the way. This is very interesting. Why? Because Acts chapter 18 and 25, not just showing the way, it says the way of the Lord. And even Acts 18 and 26 says the way of God. And in Acts chapter 16 and 17, the way of salvation. Even Jesus says, John 14 and 6, I am the way and the truth, the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. So the first Christians knew that, nothing else but Jesus Christ is the way. And even Jewish leaders know that that is the way they are describing. Jesus Christ is the only way, the way of salvation, the way of God's grace. However, Saul did not recognize the way because he was burning his desire, his zeal to destroy the follow of the way. He had to change the way. So Acts 24 and 4 says, I persecuted this way to the death, bringing and delivering to prison both men and women. There is no exception. Men and women, he had to brought them back to Jerusalem. It's just so severe persecution at that time. Think about this way. He got all the power and support from the Sanhedrin Council and the elders of Israel. And also he got his passion and zeal for God. And even everyone heard about him and what he did to early Christians in Jerusalem. And then, because he got the power, he got the zeal, and everyone fears of him, it seemed that no one was able to stop him at the time. He's the one. He got everything. But interestingly, we see from the story, only Jesus Christ, he appeared to him in the middle of the way to Damascus to stop him. Now, Jesus didn't just appear to him. Jesus didn't just meet Saul. He appeared to him with his glory and light. It's not just light, but very powerful light. And later on, Paul describes that it's like a brighter than the sun. Have you ever looked at the sun? Have you ever tried? It's really bright. But Saul said, it's brighter than the sun. In the Bible, we know that the light means it carries the presence of God from the Old Testament like Exodus, the Psalm, Ezekiel, Daniel, we see that the light means God's presence. So think about this way. As soon as there's a supernatural light, which was brighter than the sun, shone around Saul, he realizes something. Because he's an expert in Old Testament. So Saul had fallen to the ground. And surely he knew how God appeared to people in the Old Testament. So he fell to the ground in the presence of the light, in the presence of God. And not just only the light, and the divine voice came to Paul. I would say Saul, Acts 9 and 4. Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? Now Saul must have been very confused by the voice, the divine voice. He must have sensed that the presence of God, because of the strong light, brighter than the sun. But he didn't understand the meaning of persecution. Because what he did to the way to destroy the new movement was not for him, but for God, for God's glory. So if God appears in front of him with light, God must have said to him, Saul, Saul, what you are doing is great. And then I'm very pleased with your action and your faithfulness. But God didn't say it like that. While Saul was very confused by the divine voice and the meaning of the persecution, he asked, Who are you, Lord? Then Jesus reveals himself. This is a very interesting moment. Jesus reveals his identity in verse 5 and 6, which is the most powerful moment, very special moment for Saul, even very special moment of the book of Acts. And Jesus said, I am Jesus, whom you are persecuting. Thinking of Saul's situation at the time, Saul's heart was completely confused. What? And totally broken by hearing that I am Jesus. His mind is broken by hearing what Jesus said to him. He had been persecuting the way, all Christians, because he didn't believe that the early Christians said what they said about Jesus Christ, the resurrection of Jesus Christ. He did not believe that. As a Pharisee, he understood the meaning of resurrection because they taught that concept. Resurrection, it's not action of a person, but it's the action from God. It's the fulfillment of God's promise from the Old Testament. So Saul knew that. However, he did not believe what the Christians said about Jesus Christ because he did not see Jesus Christ around. He did not see the resurrected Christ at all. So he didn't believe it. Yes, many people were talking about the resurrected Christ all the time, but Saul was very sick and tired of this new movement and their false teaching. That's why he tried to his best to destroy the church and based on his knowledge and conviction from the scriptures. He must have believed that he did the right thing. I am doing the right thing for God's glory. Then all of a sudden, this dead man, Jesus Christ, came to him, appeared to him, with the brightest light ever. Even he called Saul's name, Saul, Saul. Even Jesus rebuked Saul's murderous threats against the church. Luke didn't say about anything about what Saul said after that, because there was nothing he could say in the presence of Jesus Christ, the resurrected Jesus Christ. Nothing to say. Nothing to say because he knew about the Messiah in the Old Testament. But now he just met the Messiah in front of him.
It's nothing to say because he persecuted him. So like other peoples around Saul, he was speechless.
Jesus commanded him to enter the city and wait for further instruction. Now, it's not the end of our story today. When Saul opened his eyes, he couldn't see anything because of the light, brighter than sun. The light hit his eyes. He could not see anything. But his blindness is not cursed like Elymas in Acts chapter 13. Surely he couldn't see anything because he just met the Lord. He just saw the glory of God with his own eyes. So he was not able to see anything. So people led him to the city, Damascus. And in verse 9, our text records how much his soul was struggling with this happening. How much he was struggling with meeting the encounter of Jesus Christ. He thought that he's a dead person, but he just appeared to me. Then what happened to me? He's struggling with that concept in verse 9. For 3 days he was without sight and neither ate nor drank. What did Saul do for these 3 days, nights? Without eating anything, drinking anything. Later in the story, Jesus says what he did. He was praying. Yes, he needed to pray to understand what happened to him because he met the Messiah. How can you figure things out? Because he persecuted the church, even he approved the death of Stephen. Literally, he killed a person. Literally, he killed, once again, the resurrected Jesus Christ, the promised one in the Bible, the Savior. For 3 days and nights were really struggling time for Saul. But interestingly, Saul did not have like a years or weeks or months to figure things this out, but only 3 days. 3 days and nights were enough for him to connect all the missing dots from the Bible. Oh, yeah. This is why Isaiah says, this is why Zechariah says, Habakkuk says, in Psalms says, that is why he is the Messiah. Connecting dots from the Old Testament, connecting dots, and he was able to understand God's salvation plan through the Messiah. And he realized that Jesus was the way of salvation, the way of God's forgiveness. Now, Luke brings you and me and our attention to another man in Damascus in chapter 9, verse 10. And there was a disciple of Damascus named Ananias. Now, we see that he didn't come from Jerusalem. He lived there. He lived in Damascus and he became a Christian, a disciple of Jesus Christ. We don't know how, but it happened to him. Then now Jesus appeared to him. And call his name again, like he called other people. And Jesus said in verse 11, rise and go to the street called the Straight. I know I never been in this Straight, but I read that this street is still there, this Straight. Have you been there? No, not yet. This street is still there, I read it. So Jesus said, rise and go to the street called the Straight, and at the house of Judas to look for men and torches named Saul. For behold, he is praying. So Jesus is saying that he is praying. And he has seen in a vision a man named Ananias come in and lay his hands on him so that he might regain his sight. This is an awesome moment. Jesus appears to him and saying something. Hey, this is what you can do. We always pray that Jesus teach me and tell me what I have to do. I will follow you. It happened to Ananias. But Ananias was also confused by his vision. Because he knew what Saul did to all the Christians in Jerusalem and many other cities. In verse 13,
He argues with God. And he said, Lord, I have heard from many about this man. I know this man, how much evil he has done to your saints in Jerusalem. Interesting word, saints, and happening in here first time in New Testament here. Anyway, in verse 14, the second argument is, and here he has authority from the chief priest to bind all who call on your name. Now he basically brings two arguments. Lord, I know what he did to your saints, your people, first argument, so I don't want to see him. And the second thing is, you know what? He got all the power. I don't have. He got power from the high priest. So based on his knowledge and experience, he could not understand Jesus' call. He could not understand why Jesus was sending him to this guy to visit Saul and pray for him. And what Jesus said is really wonderful and amazing. In verse 15, go. For means because he is a chosen instrument of mine. Now here the word instrument is used in the Bible to describe the real instrument. But here in the book of Acts, Jesus said that it is about God's instrument, God's call. Saul was God's chosen one. Think about this way. This is very important for Reformed Christians. Saul is God's chosen instrument, the Lord's chosen person, like you and me. We see here God's divine calling and his election for his people. God is coming down to meet Saul. It didn't matter who Saul was before. He was killing people, arresting many people, persecuting the church. It didn't matter how much he persecuted the church, but it really mattered. It doesn't matter now because Jesus calls him. Jesus calls Saul as his instrument. Then Jesus explains what Saul was called to do in verse 15. To carry my name. To carry my name before the Gentiles and kings and the children of Israel. It's interesting. Think this way. Saul had been persecuting Christ and his church based on his false conviction and desire and heart. But now Jesus is calling him to preach the gospel, to carry the name of Jesus Christ. To carry the name of Jesus Christ to everywhere he go, even to the Gentiles, even to kings of the world. In verse 16, even Jesus describes Saul's job descriptions, and he says, "For I will show him how much he must suffer for the sake of my name." From our text 15 and 16, we see Paul's job description, two things. The first one is carrying the name of Jesus Christ. Don't forget that because I'm going to tell you about it again. The second thing is suffering for the sake of Jesus Christ. So Ananias, he couldn't argue with Jesus Christ. So he visited Saul and prayed for him. In our text, he calls Saul brother. That's an amazing thing too. And Saul's sight was restored and he was filled with the Holy Spirit. That is very important too. Saul didn't work with his own power and knowledge and experience anymore. But his heart, his life was filled with the Holy Spirit. As John Calvin says, it's a mysterious work of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit filled the heart of the soul and he was baptized. Now, if you read our text, you will see that verse 19 is divided into two sections in our ESV text. Now, Saul's story is the first part of verse 19, and then the next story begins with the second part of verse 19 in the ESV, and which is ESV's part, right, because it follows the Greek text. I guess no barrier. And then in verse 19, it says, for some days he was with disciples at Damascus. Now, Luke tells us about
tells us about, probably this is the most exciting part of our story in verse 20 and 22. Now, after Saul, he baptized, he met the Lord Jesus Christ in verse 20, and immediately, he did not wait. Immediately, he proclaimed Jesus in the synagogues and saying, He was the Son of God. And verse 22, proving that Jesus was the Christ. Now we know that Saul was quite a rising star for his religion, for the Jews in Jerusalem.
Thank you. We know that while no one was trying to solve the problem, no one wanted to get their hands dirty for the new movement, the way Saul raised his hand. He decided to, his hands get dirty with his full force and desire in his heart. He persecuted the Hellenist Christians. That's the story. Now, Jews in Damascus, they knew about Saul. They must have expected as when Saul come, this God will fix our problem, repair the troubles in our synagogues. Many Christian refugees from Jerusalem were in synagogues at the time. So they thought, okay, Saul is here. He will solve the problem. But yet, what we see from our text is they were so confused. They were so confused by what Paul said in the synagogues. He proclaimed Jesus. Now he declared that Jesus is the Son of God. Now even he proved that Jesus was the Messiah, the Christ. It's amazing.
Yes.
Saul came to Damascus to solve their problems, their headaches. But now we see that Saul brought more headaches to Jews in Damascus. So eventually they planned to kill Saul. So this is kind of his life. We wrapped up from our chapter 9. Now, that I intentionally left out one particular word from our text that I'm going to tell you right now. That is verse 6 and verse 16, two words that we don't see. Verse 16 we see in the ESV. Verse 6, the ESV reads, you will be told what you are to do. But in Greek text, there is a word must. King James Version has that word. The must should be added here in verse 6. It's not just happening. And in verse 16 as well, the ESV is right. I will show him how much he must suffer for the sake of my name. Now, in Greek text, the word must indicates not something else, but God's divine intervention. In John chapter 4, the same word is used when Jesus went to Samaria. Jesus must enter to Samaria to see the lady. Everyone thought that, no, we don't want to go to Samaria. That's a dirty city. We don't want to get involved with these people. But Jesus entered the city. The Bible says must. Why? To see the lady, the woman. Same thing happening here. Jesus must see him, must meet him. It was not an accident for Paul to meet the Lord, the risen Lord, but he must meet the Lord on the way to Damascus. It was not an accident for Paul, the Saul, to suffer for the sake of Lord Jesus Christ. He must suffer for the name of Jesus Christ. Now the same is true for you and me. It is not your decision. It's not my decision. It's not our choices to meet our Lord Jesus Christ. But it's His decision. It is His call. It is His mighty choice. In Ephesians chapter 1 and 4, He chose us in Christ before the foundation of the world. How beautiful it is. Even Ephesians chapter 1 and 7 said, in Him we have redemption through His blood and forgiveness of our trespasses according to the riches of His grace. So all we are here, not because of our own desires or wills, but it is because God's choice, His call. So we see God's fulfillment in Saul's life. Caring the name of Jesus Christ to the world, suffering for the sake of his name. Saul carried the word of God to the world eventually. And eventually he suffered and died for Christ. We know that Jesus teaches us, it is not only Saul's call to carry the message of Jesus Christ. Matthew 28, we know, go and tell and make disciples and baptize them, teach them about my teaching. Even Acts chapter 1 and verse 8, you will receive the Holy Spirit and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, all Judea, Samaria, to the end of the earth. That is your call. That is your call. Brothers and sisters, we see how the word of God is fulfilling throughout the church history. Many people brought the message of Jesus Christ to everywhere. Even the message of Jesus Christ came to you and me. Now Jesus, his command, his calling fell upon you and me today. We are his chosen instruments. As each instrument makes its different sound. Guitar makes guitar sound. The piano makes piano sound. We are making different sounds. We're making beautiful sound. But all we are called to make the wonderful sound, the sound of Jesus Christ. Bringing the sound of the message of Jesus Christ to the world. That is your call, our call, and my call. Then the question is, are we really carrying his name to the world? Are we really carrying his grace to the people who don't know Christ? The word carry in Greek means to bear. To bear. The same word is used in Luke in chapter 14:27 when Jesus said, whoever does not bear, same word, and carry his own cross and come after me cannot be my disciple. That means following Jesus Christ is carrying his suffering as well. We're living in a world that very comfortable. We come to church, we enjoy our fellowship, we enjoy our activities, church, all the churches in the United States. We feel so comfortable. But do we really carry cross? Do we really bear the cross wherever we go? I mean, are we suffering for the sake of Jesus Christ? Paul's story in our text gives us lots of meanings today. Because God also calls you and me. Because we are the one who must bring the message of Jesus Christ to the world. As we go home today, we need to think about this one. Am I carrying his name with me? Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for Paul's story that how he became your servant. Lord, we pray that would you please help us to understand our call. We have many different calls. We have many different gifts that we can use for your kingdom. But all our calls are summed up for the gospel of Jesus Christ. We want to use our gifts. We want to fulfill our call to bring the message of Jesus Christ to the world. Lord, bless us, bless our church. Even help us, Lord, carrying his name always bring us suffering as well. If we are suffering because we are sharing the message of Jesus Christ, I think, Lord, we are on the right track. Then help us, Lord, not avoid suffering coming to us. As Jesus said, we will be suffered, we will be hated, but we want to go to the world, we want to share, we want to declare the name of Jesus Christ everywhere we go, as Paul did. Lord, help us, give us your spirit. We pray your son in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.